Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the first hard currency of the new year, the Financial Times podcast on the foreign exchange market. I'm Roger Blitz, and we've got lots to talk about, even in these early days of January, including some very jerky trading going on between the euro and the dollar. We've got the resurrection of trade protectionist worries, which has already taken a sizable chunk out of the Canadian dollar. And there's lots of money chasing somewhat flimsy evidence of central banks shifting monetary policy towards tightening. Our guest this week is Viraj Patel, Forex strategist at ING. Viraj, tell us about how this week has felt in the market. Is it jitters? Is it sensitivity? What is it?
Yeah, I think, well, our currency markets have suffering from January blues, to say the least, right? Yeah. The idea that they're still trying to find its feet as we come back from the holiday season, still trying to find a theme, lacking any real clear directional catalysts. And it seems like small noise and headlines are driving a lot of volatility and quickly being sort of reversed. So that's
this
the
is
theme.
What January's alive,
yeah,
isn't it?
Exactly. Just still a bit lethargic, still trying to get to grips, if yes. That makes sense.
But it's quite exciting. I mean, people are very much into the global growth story, and people are always talking slightly in a paranoid way about when this euphoria is going to come to an end, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, I think the global growth story may be slightly overdone now, right? Our message has always been that this is a happy hour. It's kind of like the growth story on its last legs for the next couple of months, maybe the next 6 months. And I think those stories are starting to get priced in, potentially being overstretched a bit. And we're now sort of seeing our biggest concerns is sort of now anything that could take the risk environment out of this sort of benign Goldilocks state, yes, of mind. And, you know, there are an array of risks on the table coming forward.
Okay, let's talk about the dollar and the euro. I mean, lots of jerks around in the last week or so. What does it tell you? And also dollar yen, you know, there's been a lot of growth in the yen. Is the dollar beaten? Is it just the fact that the market only has eyes for the ECB and the BOJ? Is that the big
thing? Well, especially now, the focus for the dollar is back with the US economy in this latter stages of its economic cycle. The focus is back to structural factors, and that tends to weigh on the dollar over sort of a medium term horizon. So any short term moves are going to come from the euro side or the yen side, and that's all a function about ECB and or Bank of Japan monetary normalization, the short-term dynamics in the economies. Now, when we look at the global markets and when we look at monetary policy, the key message is that monetary policy is a driver for currencies, packs more punch for, yes, in economies where there's the biggest gap between where interest rates are and where they should, yes, be. And that's the repricing potential. Now, the US is there, thereabouts. If you believe the terminal rate to be 2-2.5%, that's priced in now. Yes. So for us, it's all about chasing those local stories and waiting and trying to find catalysts for those repricings.
And try not to overreact to some of what is just sometimes threadbare evidence that monetary policy is happening. Particularly we saw with the BOJ, which seemed to make a move on its purchasing bonds without actually doing anything different to what they've done before.
Yeah, I think we're going to see more of this, the misunderstanding of central banks' policy reaction, yeah, functions, right? And I think this was a classic case with the Bank of Japan. The focus for the yield curve control policy is on price and not the quantity. Yeah. And that's the key message. I don't think the Bank of Japan were explicitly trying to send a signal. They just felt that they can purchase less JGB bonds and maintain their price target. So I think we quickly understood that. Markets quickly understood that. But yet again, the yen still did quite well, not least because there is still an underlying fundamental positive story in the Japanese economy coming through. And also the dollar side, the factors to put dollar yen higher just falling by, yeah, the wayside. So I think markets for us, dollar yen stays in this sort of range bound price action, but the risks are now growing that we actually break lower below that 110 level, and the gravitational pull is towards 100, 105. That's where fair value on the medium term basis is. And that's, you know, I mean, we were thinking maybe that's a 2019 story, but it's becoming a more of a late 2018 story.
You talked earlier about, you know, worries about, you know, the global growth story, you know, having reached peak. So we need to pay more attention to the quality of some of this data coming through. I mean, which of the last few days have you been more convinced by? I'll give you three examples. The Bank of Canada's jobs numbers last Friday, the Riksbank, their minutes, which are quite hawkish, or in Norway, the inflation numbers. Which of those has more meat to them?
Well, I think all three I'll tell you this, because all three epitomize, maybe not Norway, but certainly Canada and Sweden. They both have strong activity and relatively high inflation rest to the rest of the G10 space. Yes. Now, the Riksbank's always been an anomaly. No Taylor rule-like policy could even dictate where Swedish banks should be, because they should be a lot higher than where they are. But they're waiting for the ECB. That's a classic case there. Mm-hmm. But clearly, they feel that actually, Joe, what the force is now there, that they actually might have to go ahead of the ECB at some point. That may have been the message that Ingves was sending out.
The
Riksbank governor.
The Riksbank governor, yeah.
So that's potentially one thing. But for Canada, they've shown they've led by example. They've as soon as those domestic animal spirits come through,
we're looking at possibly the third rate
exactly.
hike in 8 months.
So they're one of the first central banks, obviously back in the summer of 2017, to hike interest rates. Mm. And I think the same economic arguments are there. The only tail risk to that is the NAFTA noise that is starting to creep up.
Right, let's talk about protectionism. We have been here before with Donald Trump, in fact, exactly this time last year, and the markets were pretty worried. Should we be again worried? Is his bark worse than his bite? Or is there something more meaningful coming down the road? After all, people are saying, well, he's done the tax bill, that's out the way, his case failed on the health policy, this is the next one.
Well, I think the unpredictability of this Trump administration is unnerving for any global investor. But the two things have changed since last year, and I think an understanding of what's actually going on with Trump and trade policy. Mm. The first is that I think when we look at this administration, we look at what they're looking at as a measure of economic success. It's clearly the stock market rather than the dollar. And historically, even if the dollar is giving you a better signal of where the US economy is over a medium-term basis, the stock market seems to be the one that they're looking at. And now any policies that actively would take the stock market lower, and that could potentially be a real protectionist world of stagflationary environment of rising bond yields and lower equity prices, that's probably not in the administration's best interest. And I think they have a small subtle understanding of this. So
we didn't see that last year, though, Viraj. Yeah. I mean, we didn't see the stock market go south just because of the protection.
And so
policy.
I think there's an understanding that the world has learned to live with Trump's noise. And so a lot of talk and no action seems to be the central scenario going into it. And in actual fact, it's just self-inflicting for the US dollar, if anything. And that political risk just means that the marginal decision to invest that extra capital into the US is just smaller given those political risks. And when you've got the rest of the world growing on all cylinders, firing on all cylinders, it suggests that what you're going to see is a general rotation out of the US into the rest of the world and into these Goldilocks investment opportunities. And that's the sort of trend for 2018. So not necessarily a massive dollar decline, but just a gradual medium-term rotation out.
Are you saying, therefore, that trade rhetoric or actual action from Trump is really just going to be absorbed by the likes of emerging markets currencies, and because we're just in a better place this time than we were last year.
Exactly. I think the fact that we've got this global synchronized growth story, and it might not be back to pre-crisis levels, but even if there's some synchronicity, the reliance on trade to generate growth in these economies is less. So the tolerance for general currency appreciation is there. But also the point to make is that if there is sort of synchronized growth and synchronized policy normalization, there's actually little divergence going on. And in the currency world, it actually means fairly stable exchange rates, especially on a trade-weighted basis. And so it's kind of like the rest of the world catching up to the dollar.
So So just coming back to NAFTA, which you raised at the beginning, but you know, he can pull out of NAFTA, and what impact will that have?
Well, the immediate impact will be on the NAFTA economies themselves,
and the currency of the
Canadian dollar and Mexican peso would be marginally hit. The Mexican peso more so than Canada, not least because of the bilateral goods.
I mean, the Canadian dollar was hit by nearly 1% on that rumor this week.
The Bank of Canada story getting repriced. priced out. That's the biggest risk for the Canada. So less of a fundamental risk in terms of the terms of trade channel, but certainly more so from the actual Bank of Canada repricing. But so the Mexican peso, we think potentially could head up to 21, 22 in this scenario. That's a big move from where we are. The Canadian dollar potentially only to 130 back to sort of those levels. But it's really going to be a lot to take the Canadian dollar a bit lower from here. And the dollar, it's important to note that the Fed would be very cautious about hiking rates in this sort of uncertain environment. And the dollar would actually lose ground against potentially the rest of the G10 space, where they would be continuing business as usual when it comes to normalization of policy.
Two more things, Virush, I want to ask you. One is, it doesn't seem like the market needs many events to react at the moment. But however, this month, what are you looking at? What's on the horizon that the investors should be looking out at?
Well, I think the biggest risk is going to be that State of the Union address from President Trump later this. And I think that could be a watershed moment for the political risks that could be priced into the US economy over 2018. Given what's happening with the US midterm elections, given the the polarized US electoral base, it's going to be a bit of a shaky sort of message. And if we do get some noise around trade and protectionism, I think we could potentially see the start of some sort of dollar weakness.
We could start to see it when he's in Davos in a couple of weeks.
Exactly. And I think that sort of Trump geopolitics is going to be the key, I guess, for markets, waiting for other central banks to give the signal.
More immediately, Bank of Canada meeting next week, first of the big central banks. Are they going to raise rates again?
Well, I think the economic data definitely suggests that, not least you've got stronger inflation and you've also got a healthy jobs market and strong activity. All of that points to a rate hike. It's probably priced in now.
It's just that the NAFTA wrinkle might
what that might do is take away some of the propensity to hike after this one. Yes. So it's kind of like just, you might not see the curve steepen too much in the CAD rally. For us, we quite like the Canadian dollar on the crosses against some other currencies like the Australian dollar, where we don't think the central banks there would be in any rush to hike. So that policy divergence story is a lot more focused in that cross.
Just finally, Virush, I know it's the start of the year, but you start the year with a whole series of predictions. Which one are you most confident about? What's your conviction prediction?
Well, I think our biggest conviction is that, and it's growing by the day, that Eurodollar, the direction of travel here is towards 130. And I think that is a bold call, and it was always going to be at the start of the year. But just the factors that could have taken Eurodollar down from here, and the correction was always going to be likely in the near term in the absence of any catalyst. But if you take on top of the ECB policy story, strong fundamentals, the euro potentially taking some of the dollar's sort of reserve currency appetite, all of these point to sort of a strong cyclical upswing in that euro dollar cross. 130 is looking more and more a convincing call these
days.
Actually,
the last podcast of 2017, our guest was talking about 135. So it's a trend that's being expressed in hard currency. My thanks to Virush Patel of ING. We'll be back next week to see whether there's any more decisive conviction in the foreign exchange market as the new year gets going, with a look ahead to that Davos meeting. Until then, it's goodbye.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.